Do you need help protecting your finances as you enter retirement? David Dickens of KC Financial Advisors has got you covered. Welcome to the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
It's another edition of Cover Your Assets KC, the podcast that makes you a little bit smarter when it comes to your financial and retirement planning life. And we hope to educate you a little bit today on something that might be helpful to you and your family. I'm Walter Storholt alongside David Dickens, President and Wealth Advisor at KC Financial Advisors, serving you throughout Kansas City with an office in Overland Park. And you can find us online at coveryourassetskc.com. David, great to be with you this week. How are you, sir?
I am doing just great, enjoying a lot of nice fall weather in Kansas City. It's a beautiful time to be in Kansas City.
Yeah, I love this time of year. I'm glad that we have kind of turned that that page from summer to the fall time, and we got a little football on the screen. I know you and I have both been excited about that.
Yeah, I don't really care if it's college or pro. I like watching it, and you know, my teams are doing okay, and so life is good.
I did just what I wanted to do, just what I'd been dreaming about since the beginning of the pandemic and since the beginning of it starting to get hot outside last weekend on Sunday afternoon. I put the game on the TV on the screened-in porch, laid down on the couch, and enjoyed the cool breeze and took a nap.
Oh, man, does that sound nice.
It's perfect. It covers you from about the second to the end of the third quarter. You wake up in time for the fourth quarter, but because you saw the first quarter, you don't feel like you missed too much of the game. You got that beginning story, and then you get the end of the story.
Very nice. And any major highlights, they're going to show you again anyway.
They show you again, right. So you get caught up on the injuries and the big scores and all that pretty easily. So it was good stuff. We've got an interesting show on the way today, one that should be educational, informative, and I think helpful to a lot of folks. We're talking, and we do this a lot, David. We talk about what to think about when it comes to IRAs and different types of accounts, especially as you think about estate planning and passing things on to the next generation. But we often focus on what you, as the planner or the person doing the planning, should know about your own accounts. Well, we're going to flip the attention a little bit on today's show, and you've drawn up for us, David, three things that heirs themselves should know.
Yeah, and I think this is really important. In my business, I deal with the grandparents that are giving stuff away, but also the kids and sometimes the grandkids that are getting it. And so I see it, the gifting thing and the inheritance thing, from both ends. And so I think there's going to, whether you're young or old, hopefully there's something in here for everybody to say, you know what, that's a good tip, and I'm going to do something about that next week. So that's kind of my goal here. Three things I think that are super important to know, regardless of which side of the inheritance equation you're on.
All right. Well, what's number one on the list?
Well, kind of the setup is most people are really pretty private about what they have and how much they have. And if they aren't that private about it, they're probably lying. So, but in my business, most people tell me or their trusted advisor what they have and what they want. But a lot of times they don't talk to their family about it. Now, sometimes that's for really good reasons, because they have some difficult family dynamics. Sometimes it's just out of procrastination. So the problem is, we've worked with a number of families where mom or dad died, and there really wasn't a good roadmap as to what the assets were and how that person wanted them to be distributed. So every family's different, but three easy steps that I think you can go through to make sure that your wishes are met after you're gone. So number one, make sure that you have, and this frankly has little to do with your assets, but a lot to do with how the end comes, is you really have to make sure that you have some sort of health care directive or a living will. So that kind of has a couple of components. You want to make sure that you've named a medical power of attorney. Now, oftentimes what we see is that'll be one of your adult children, probably the most responsible of your adult children, but that's the person that is going to speak for you medically if you can't. So it's super important. And you want to make sure that they know what you want. And we always encourage you to make sure you write it down. And a lot of times that takes the form of a living will or a healthcare directive. In other words, if this is my situation, I want this to happen. If this is my situation, I want that to happen. Just to make sure that your wishes are done regarding your health and your end times, instead of family members having to make tough decisions while they're all emotionally involved in your last days. And I think the key here is to make sure not only that your medical power of attorney, but also all of your close family members who might also be emotionally involved in that decision. Make sure that they know that you have one of these, a living will or health care directive, and if you feel comfortable enough, make sure that they know what it says so there aren't any surprises when that time comes. So that's number one. Just make sure that you have your, I'm going to call it end-of-life healthcare decisions, but basically that's what we're talking about. When things get tough at the end, make sure that you've made those decisions through a healthcare directive or a living will.
Makes a lot of sense, David, and a good one to put at the top of the list. Make sure you have that healthcare directive or living will. Three things heirs should know. What's number two?
Well, the second one is they should know that you have a will, and incidentally, you should have a will, and you might have a trust as a generalization. The vast majority of Americans don't need a trust, but pretty much everybody needs a will. Now, what that does is specify who gets what, especially if there are contentious items that you own. Now, that could be, you know, your grandmother's table or lamp or some special things around the house, and you think your kids might fight over them. It's usually not your financial items, your financial accounts, because those are almost always covered by beneficiary designations. If they're not, then you are ill prepared for your final days. So, will or trust, I want to mention two big mistakes that happen. One with a will and one with a trust. So, the vast majority of Americans, unless you want to control things from the grave or you have some complicated assets, you can probably get your estate planning done with a well-produced will and complete beneficiary designations. So, but here's one thing that we have seen before, and it's a silly mistake to have happen. But if your will says that your IRA goes to, let's say you have three kids, so you say, I want my IRA to go to all three of my kids. But that IRA has a beneficiary designation attached to it at the brokerage company or at the bank, and it only names two. Well, then number three is left out, and it doesn't matter what your will said. If your beneficiary designations are wrong, that's what governs who gets what. So make sure that you know that your beneficiary designations are right. And if your family dynamics are comfortable in that way, I think it's perfectly fine to let those heirs know, not necessarily how big your IRA is, but that they're a beneficiary. So that's the first piece under having a will or a trust. The second is, we see this way more often than it should happen, but people that have a trust think that by establishing their trust, they can set it and forget it. But just recently, we had somebody come in who had a problem. Their trust was set up, but it was never funded. And the husband was already gone. He had died 2 weeks ago, and she realized there was a problem. So what the term funding a trust means is you set up a trust, and it has all these instructions as to what happens. But if the assets aren't owned by the trust, then the trust is going to be ineffective regarding that account or that piece of real estate. So what that means is that if you have a trust, each of your accounts that are going to be controlled by the trust need to name the trust as the beneficiary. If it's a piece of real estate, maybe the trust owns that piece of real estate. Either way, you have to make sure that if you've gone to all the trouble and expense of having a trust, that trust has been properly funded by naming it as the beneficiary of the assets that you expect to be controlled by that trust. It is super important. And while I'm not going to name the name of the very large law firm here in Kansas City that wrote that trust but did not fund it, that happens way more than you'd think. And what happens if you have a trust and the assets haven't been funded? Well, you have to go back to that law firm and pay them a lot of money to take those assets through probate. So it's relatively simple. It's usually relatively inexpensive to handle it before you die. And it's really frustrating, really expensive, and really time-consuming to handle it after you die. So number two, your heirs should know if you have a will or a trust. And if you have a good family relationship, they should understand what's in the will, what's in the trust, and that those assets have proper beneficiary designations for them.
All important pieces of information to know. It sounds like a common thread, David, and I'm wondering if this will continue into the third point, the third thing that heirs should know. Sounds like communication is really important between various parties through all of these points so far. Will that also be a trend in number three?
Well, it will be, and frankly, that's the whole underlying... It's a kind of an uncomfortable discussion to have, and you know, when you're the parent, even though your kids might be in their 40s, you can still kind of think of them as your kids, and... Everybody's family dynamics are different, and sometimes if they're not healthy, there's a good reason to not discuss financial stuff with certain of your heirs. But frankly, what I've seen over the years is the more transparency, generally speaking, the better. And transparency comes through communication. So Walter, you're right on. More communication is usually better than less.
Always going to be a good rule of thumb. More communication, better than less. All right, and point number three that heir should know.
Well, so you need to make sure that you name a financial power of attorney and an executor, a personal representative for your stuff to handle your stuff when you're gone. And it's important that your heirs, I think it's important that your heirs know that you do have a financial power of attorney, that you do have an executor, and that that person is in charge not of doing the things the way they want them done, but doing those things the way you ask them to do it. So an executor does things like, they'll assess the assets that are left in the estate and they'll distribute them based on your wishes. They'll collect life insurance proceeds. Somebody has to actually do that. The life insurance company just doesn't send you money. You have to request them, and that's usually the executor that will do that. That person will pay all final bills and debts, and they will execute the wishes that you put forth in your will. So that person has a lot of responsibility, a lot of legal responsibility. So they're taking on a super important job. And a lot of times that's, let's say you have four kids. Well, you're probably going to name one kid, one adult child, as the executor, is oftentimes what we see. And I think it's really important that the other three understand that their brother or sister, who is named the executor, is just going to try, in the light of day, in the bright light, nobody gets to hide stuff like that, but they're going to try to execute the exact instructions that you left behind. And the more exact those instructions, the easier the executor's job is going to be, and the better feelings the other people are going to have about the job the executor is doing. Real quick then, what's the difference between an executor and a financial power of attorney? Well, super simple. The financial power of attorney's job ends when you die. If you name somebody as your financial power of attorney, they only have that power while you are living. Once you die, the power goes to the executor. Now, they may be the same person, but their job, one job ends and the other begins on your date of death. So again, as you aptly put it 5 minutes ago, some communication in the financial realm amongst your heirs almost always is the right thing to do, and it makes everybody feel better about what's going to transpire once you're gone.
So helpful to get that kind of information, and always helpful to get a reminder of the importance of communication. I think something that we can all value and keep in mind that it helps as we go through anything in life, but especially when it comes to matters of finance, passing wealth, legacy, estate planning, all those kinds of things. If you want to reach out to David Dickens and ask any questions that might be on your mind when it comes to financial and retirement planning, you can do that a couple of different ways. Give a call, 913-317-1414 if you like. That's 913-317-1414, or online at coveryourassetskc.com. That's coveryourassetskc.com. Ask about David and the team's complete planning review that they can put you through to see how ready you are for your retirement future. Again, coveryourassetskc.com, or just check the show notes of today's episode for a link to relevant information. David, thanks for the help on today's show. Enjoyed it, and we'll do it again next time.
I'll look forward to that. Thanks, Walter.
Join us again next week for another edition of the Cover Your Assets KC Podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and KC Financial Advisors are independent of each other.